Let's get to Brad, shall we? Brad, welcome to The Issues.
Thank you.
How can I help you, Brad?
Well, I'm dealing with some issues right now that I'm having a hard time balancing what I should be doing. I'm in a situation with my wife. We've been married for 7 years. We have two little children, two girls, 2 and 4. And basically, it's been kind of a rough relationship all the way through. Problems with communication and intimacy. And
how long have you been married, Brad?
7 years.
7 years, all right.
And so recently, about a year ago, my wife found another man that was able to meet some of those more affectionate and needs, like telling her how wonderful she was. And it wasn't really a sexual relationship, though that did happen, but it was more of that she was getting those special womanly needs met.
Yeah, the whole question of needs. Well, now, were you not willing, able?
Early on, I was very able, and there were a lot of problems with intimacy with her. She has a lot of problems dating back with other men, and I tried in a lot of different ways to meet her needs, and eventually, I just really kind of gave up and got into other things like men and, you know, get together with the guys and fishing and different things.
And what was so difficult in terms of meeting her needs?
That she wasn't honest with me. I don't remember what the last caller said, but there were rules set up. And suddenly she would just say, okay, I needed this. And she'd be mad at me because I didn't meet that need and I didn't see it coming. And so automatically I was disqualified for even meeting that need at that point. And so I never got close to her.
All right. And your question to me today?
Is that now she is basically chosen. She can't make decisions. And so I eventually got to a point after 5 months of working on this, I'm going to leave. And
you decided you were going to leave?
I was going to leave. I left the house.
All right.
And I kind of was looking at divorce as an option. And I let her know that. I didn't try to threaten her with that. I just said, I'm looking at this now. And she immediately went out and started dating her boyfriend and going to parties with him and really trying to, I guess she was feeling her oats, you know, trying this thing out.
Okay, and your question to me is?
Is, I do love her. I do want a restored marriage under God. We are Christians, which makes it kind of strange. And,
not really.
Well, okay. On one hand, I want to be a loving Christ-like husband. At the other hand, she is completely abusing me, and she's basically said, I don't want you to be my covering anymore. And
okay, but again, you've got so much to talk about and so much background in history.
Yeah.
Just ask me your question.
Okay, I guess the question is, what kind of boundaries do I set so that I don't become a codependent, trying to suck her back kind of person? Where do I draw the boundary lines for me to be a healthy individual, to get on with my own life, or to see things clearly, I guess? I'm just caught in too much emotion.
Yeah, I think there is so much emotion. I don't even think that's your question. I think you're being pressed into posing a question. I don't think you're ready for a question. I think that whatever the pain or the discomfort that you're feeling is so prominent that it's hard for you to formulate a plan. I think you want things to stop, and I think you want things to be different, but I don't think you have yet a plan in your mind or even a question, which is fine, and that's not a criticism.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that it may be a little early for that. Have you sought any counseling at all?
Yes, I am seeking counseling.
Are you in counseling or you're seeking it?
Yes, I am.
Uh-huh.
I am in counseling.
How many sessions?
I've had about 7 or 8 sessions.
7 or 8 sessions? And what are these sessions? Are they individual sessions?
Well, no, they were with my wife, and we were basically trying to set boundaries so that I don't try to superimpose my needs on her. She needed her space and stuff, but then she stopped going. And now it's really more for me.
And how long ago was that she stopped going?
About 2 months ago.
And you've been going since?
I sort of stopped and was just kind of going to the church, my church, for answers and for support. And now I'm getting back into
Okay.
With a counselor from our church.
Yeah. Well, is the counselor in your church a trained therapist?
Yes, she is.
Okay, good. All right. Well, I would certainly go into the counseling and I'd find out what all this means, because it's not real clear to me as to what you mean by boundaries and space and distance. And is she dating her old boyfriend, and are you still pursuing a divorce? It's all very muddy. It doesn't seem all that clear, which is no fault of yours, in the sense that's just kind of where you are. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
But you have to come to a point where you start asking yourself questions.
Well, maybe that could be a question. What's the question I should be asking in these circumstances?
Well, I think that's what you have to come to.
Yeah.
Because they will involve, you know, what you're willing to accept, what you're willing to tolerate, and all of those things. The other thing I would ask you to look at is that, you know, what is it that you may be afraid of? What is it you want to prevent that may cause you to take a different direction? You know, invariably what happens, we throw roadblocks in our path. We can't act, we don't act because of something. And it may be a whole list of somethings that don't allow us to take a certain action. You have to identify those things, because those things may turn out to be losses.
I see.
You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There may be certain things that you would just do normally if it weren't for the kids, if it weren't for whatever. And you have to identify that with your counselor too, because those may be legitimate and they may not be legitimate. Sometimes we can hide behind these reasons why we can't. We hide behind them for other reasons. And I'd like you to know as many of the other reasons as possible. I was talking to an athlete the other night, one of the most gifted athletes in this particular athletic endeavor, this particular sport. One of the most gifted athletes, most highly recruited athlete in the country in this sport. And he wasn't doing much or anything with his ability. God had given him a gift, and yet there was some reason he wasn't pursuing it. And when I spoke to him, I said, "Tell me why you're not doing something." He says, "Well, I'm not motivated." Well, you can hide behind not being motivated. But underneath, as we continued to talk, we found out there was doubt, there was insecurity, there was fear. And what we have to do is we have to name those obstacles and see if there's not something else lurking around those things, and we have to become very familiar with those issues. So we find out why we're not moving ahead, what we fear losing, what this will mean in terms of a change in our life.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we empower other people as being very intimidating, controlling our lives and everything else, because we're afraid of losing something.
I really let that happen for 7 years, really.
Okay, so you've got to identify those obstacles and become acquainted with those doubts, fears, and you know, whatevers. Okay? And do that in your therapy.
Yeah.
And then you give me a call back if you'd like a second opinion.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Yep. It's very important. You have to be familiar enough with the questions, because we all have a history. We all have a background. We all have detail. But after you tell all the detail 12 times, you're still left with the risks that you may not be willing to take because of certain losses. Identify the losses, identify the risks, and then we can talk. My name is John Jolliffe. We'll be back in just a minute with a few more questions on the issues of life. Very few of us are controlled by external forces. It's true. And very few of us are controlled by external forces. We're motivated primarily by forces inside of ourselves. That's the thing that I've been trying to say to people, is that it's not what's going on outside, it's what's going on inside. And what leads us, you know, it leads me to conclude this, that what we do within the context of our relationships is not so much what we do to each other, but what we hope to do for ourselves. All needs, all very personal needs, are urgent in the sense that we quickly become aware of that any of them that are not satisfied. And once aware, we have no choice but to attempt to satisfy that need. The question always is how are you going to do that? How are you going to do that? And one of the fascinating things about unattended needs that persist to the point of intolerability is that they begin to be separated from our awareness. Okay? They become separated from our awareness so that we don't speak very intelligently about these needs. Because if the need has been unfulfilled for an extended period of time, it's just too painful. And so what we do is we cut off all awareness of this particular need. And then what we do, another fascinating thing, is that we relocate these sensations to other areas where either greater control or adequate relief can be provided. So therefore, unfulfilled needs tend to become disguised. And they find their attempted fulfillment through some symbolic satisfaction. And that's what typically happens with unfulfilled needs. They get satisfied in some symbolic form. It's a very fascinating subject, these needs and these wants. And I'm going to talk to you tonight at the Holiday Inn at 7 o'clock about wants and needs. I've got handouts for you. We're going to go and look at three particular strong needs that people talk about frequently in different ways. They talk about belonging, being a part of and associated with people. They also talk about the need of being worthy, of being valued. And we also talk about the need of competence. Those three needs seem to, probably cause us more trouble than any other. Okay, 7 o'clock Holiday Inn, right there on 405 Freeway in Lakewood Boulevard. Let's talk to, it's Sam. Sam, welcome to the Issues of Life.
How are you?
Fine, thanks for being patient.
That's okay.
How can I help you, Sam?
About 2 years ago, I have a Christian friend that appointed me as a godmother to her son's child, and she didn't ask me if I wanted to be, so...
Well, how do you get appointed?
Well, she said that it was God's, something that God appointed me or something like that. So anyway, I felt this...
Did you ask questions about this?
I said that...
God had this conversation with this woman and didn't bring you into it?
I said that I wasn't ready and I didn't want the responsibility and I didn't want to, do it. She said, well, it's not your, choice. It's an appointment. And so I went out, I got the dress, I got everything.
Wait, you got the dress?
I got the dress for the little girl.
I
decided to do it because I thought that I better do this.
Well, God told her.
Well, I was appointed. That's the way I heard it.
When you're told certain things, do you ever ask questions about this?
Well, when I ask and then people challenge my question, then I sort of back off and kind of think.
Sort of?
I do back off.
Okay.
So I went through the motions of this thing. And
see, one of the great things that you can always ask people who push, and particularly when they start talking about God and what God did and God said, ask for chapters and verses.
Yes, I don't do that.
No, I know.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
And so
then
I went out and bought the whole thing for this little six-month-old girl and went to the church, waited an hour and a half, and then they dressed up the little girl, and I don't even know the parents. And then they decided to...
Wait, you don't even know the parents?
I don't know the parents that well. She's just a friend that... I'm doing this for the friend. It's for her son's child. I never see the parents.
Wait. Who called you and said that God appointed you to be the godparent?
A friend of mine, a Christian friend.
A friend of yours called you and said that. And you don't know your friend?
Well, I know my friend, but I don't know her son that well, or the daughter-in-law. See, the parents of the child, I don't know very
well. Oh, I see. The grandmother called you.
Yes, the grandmother. Yes,
oh,
I'm
okay.
Sorry.
Well, it's getting clear.
I don't communicate that well.
Okay.
So anyway, I went and then decided to cancel the christening, and then they told me, we'll let you know when we're going to do it again.
Okay, tell me, ask me your question.
This is 2 years ago, and every time...
That was 2 years ago?
She brings it up, she says, oh, your daughter, your goddaughter, you have to see her, Every time she mentions that, I get this thing in my stomach.
What, would they went ahead and had the service?
Well, they had it without me, and then they said that they used my name. They, like, somebody stood in my name and did it for me. Mm-hmm. I didn't know they did it. They went ahead and did it six months later. Yes?
Sam?
Yes?
This is nuts.
Yes.
This is absolutely nuts.
But it's not nuts when
now, I'm not saying you're nuts.
No, yes.
I'm saying this thing's real off.
Yes.
Is there anything inside of you that said this is something weird here? Doesn't make sense to you? Is there anything inside of you that started going, what?
Well, I've heard that people can stand for you at a christening. If
now, I'm not asking you about all that. I'm not asking you. I'm not talking to your head now. I'm talking to your guts. Anything in your guts say, what?
Yeah, I did that.
Okay. I want you to trust that more. I want you to trust that more. This sounds like a real dysfunctional system. You're going to be appointed the godmother of people you don't even know the parents of or the child. You get the dress, they cancel the thing, then they have somebody stand in to be the godmother. And
it's only when she mentions that, you know, on and off that, well, your goddaughter's growing up, she's talking now, you should get, you know, see her. That's when I start to crumble.
My friend, I think that you need to be very careful of who you associate with.
Yeah.
Anybody who would be associated with that kind of thing is a pretty dysfunctional individual. That, and what I mean by that is they may be wonderful people, but the point is that they don't ask enough questions and they just kind of follow the pressure. There's some kind of pressure, there's some kind of need here, there's some kind of something going on, and everybody just seems to kind of follow along and nobody questions whether this makes sense and whether it's right or not. Listen, to be a godfather or godmother is an honor. What it basically says is that parents who care about the Christian faith or their particular faith have chosen you because you're well-versed, because of your life experience, and because of your knowledge base. You're better prepared to help this child learn about their faith, to learn about God. And perhaps if there were anything to happen to those parents, they might naturally choose you to replace them in terms of the learning and the training of this child and the things of God. But if you're not of that faith, or if you're not strong in that faith, and if you don't feel comfortable assuming the role of tutor, teacher, mentor, guide, then you should resign. You cannot be appointed to that position. There's no such thing as God told me that you were supposed to do this. Okay?
Yeah.
But I think the bigger issue and the bigger question for you, and this is where I'd like you to think about and maybe get some help on, is that you cave in. When you want to ask a question, you don't trust yourself enough to do that. So I think that's a bigger problem. And if anybody challenges your question, then you cave in or give up. You have a sense of confusion in you, but you don't trust even to pursue that. And I think that's the greater issue. Okay?
Okay.
If you want to stay in line, we'll give you some good referrals, but I would suggest that you might want to do some work on that area.
All right.
Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. Hold on. Yep. You ever heard of such a thing? I never have. Let's talk to Linda.
Hello.
Hello, Linda.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate your show.
You
always seem to get to the heart of matter and you give good advice. So
okay.
I'm looking forward to what you have to say.
All right, good. Are you appointed anything, Linda?
Pardon?
Have you been appointed to any position?
Oh, yes. Many times, but I've learned enough to say no sometimes.
Okay, good.
My situation is my mother is a widow about 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and she was living alone quite a distance from us, and she has turned into a recluse, and we have recently moved her down closer to us. So she comes over here for dinner,
uh-huh.
and we're trying to draw her out. She's at the point where she's very timid, which is not like her at all,
mm-hmm.
and she's withdrawn,
mm-hmm.
Depressed,
mm-hmm.
very anxious,
mm-hmm.
gets very nervous when you have to talk about any kind of business.
How old is she?
She's 80.
Mm-hmm.
She has a terrible time making any kind of decision for herself.
Have you had her, have you given her a psychiatric referral?
No, I haven't.
it wouldn't be a bad idea.
I think so.
You know, it's not a bad idea. I'm in a relationship. That doesn't sound all that great, but I'm in a relationship with a geriatric psychiatrist that he and I have been talking about this subject, and we think we're going to do a broadcast on that very subject because it's such a needed area. If you want to stay off on the line, I'll give you his phone number at the commercial break, and you can give him a call and set up that psychiatric evaluation. I'm amazed as he and I talk together of how many elderly people really are being misdiagnosed and being missed. We just kind of think about it as being, well, they're just old or they're tired or they're just elderly, and you know, people have these kinds of problems. And so we begin to just tolerate that, where there is medication, there is other kinds of treatments for the elderly, and some people are being misdiagnosed. And so I would love to give you his number and see if that wouldn't be of help to you.
That would be great.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you can't treat the elderly and certain kind of organic or other kinds of problems that they might have, other issues. You can't just treat it with self-help books and seminars and tapes.
No.
You know, many times you have to call in the medical guys.
Right.
And see if there's not some kind of intervention that would be of help.
Right.
So stay on the line, and I'll talk to you on the commercial break, okay?
Oh, thank you very much.
You're sure welcome. Yep, very important. I think Dr. Schneider and I will do a program on that very, very important subject. I mean, we are all baby boomers and children of baby boomers, and we do have elderly parents. And so he and I have been talking about that very important need. So you stay with me. We're going to take a commercial break and come back and talk to you on some other issues of life. We've got a toll-free line available if you'd like, 1-800-4-ISSUES. That's 1-800-447-7837. Stay with us. We've got a lot of program left on the next issue of life.
Deciding how you want your life to end is the key to figuring out what you ought to be doing today. That's the premise of a cassette series by John Jolliffe called Developing a Plan for the Rest of Your Life. In front of a live seminar audience, John outlines step by step how to reach your life's goals by working backwards from the end. The result is a fascinating analysis of your family, career, emotional development, and more. Ask for the 3-cassette series, Developing a Plan for the Rest of Your Life, when you write to The Issues of Life, Box 611, Long Beach, California, 90801. Be sure to include $26.95 with your request and mention that title, Developing a Plan for the Rest of Your Life. Or call 1-800-4-ISSUES and have your Visa or MasterCard ready. Again, that's The Issues of Life, Box 611, Long Beach, California, 90801. Or for Visa or MasterCard users, 1-800-447-7837.
John Jolliffe, and we're speaking to Eva. Hello, Eva.
Hi, John.
Welcome to The Issues.
Thank you. I need some of your advice.
Yes.
I'll get right to the question.
Good.
Is it all right for a Christian spouse to separate for verbal, emotional, and mental abuse?
Well, let's talk about what that is, because okay. That can range from, you know, we're arguing to actual abuse.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, physical.
Well, are you being physically abused?
No. In the beginning,
That's not to say that physical abuse is worse than emotional abuse.
Yeah,
that's not to say that.
Yeah.
Okay, we tend to tolerate emotional abuse over physical abuse.
Yeah.
Tell me, if you feel like you're being emotionally abused, tell me what it is that you're experiencing.
Well, it's mainly like, you know, when my husband gets upset at me, like if I disagree with him and, you know, things like, well, I'll give you an example. A couple of days ago, he made some popcorn, and I didn't. I tried it, but I didn't like it, and he wanted me to eat some more, and I said, no, I don't like it. So then he gets upset and then grabs the bowl and dumps it in the trash. And you know, among many other times, you know, that, you know, he gets upset over little things.
I would say that behavior, like if a child did it, I think that behavior invites a question. And I think that in a sense, he experiences this rebuff or rejection by you in a very personal way. And his behavior invites a question.
Oh.
What would the question be?
From me?
Yes.
Like, well, I would say, why are you acting that way?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You seem to be upset by my not wanting the popcorn. What is happening to you? How did you perceive of this? What are you thinking? How are you feeling? You see, in one sense, he's really begging for that. He's really saying, you know, I need somebody to ask me about what's happening. Because what he does is he shuts down. When he was rebuffed or whatever that triggered in him, he withdrew. And yet he leaked out and acted out rather than talked out. And so it begs the question, and the question is, what's happening? Why this behavior? What are you feeling? What did you hear? What did that trigger? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And yet, I think that when you see that kind of behavior, you probably back up. You probably think, well, I don't want to provoke or escalate anything more. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And do you take that? Do you take that course?
You
start withdrawing?
I kind of just like, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll say, well, why did you do that? And then he'll say, well, you didn't like it, blah, blah, blah. And then he, you know, dumps it or.
Okay, but what I would say to you, and this takes a little different, this takes a little skill, but I'd like you to think this way. I'd like you to think at that moment of being my co-therapist. And I'd like you to act as a therapist would at that moment. You say, what does that mean? You just dump that in the trash. What does that mean?
Oh.
You said, well, you didn't like it.
Yeah.
The therapist would say, wait a minute. I'm trying to understand how you're feeling. I can hear the anger, and I can see what you did. But I'm really asking. I really want to know. What got triggered? Do you see what I mean? And don't get any lengthy conversations or lengthy questions. Just ask him, what got triggered?
Okay.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
And that allows you to be in control.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that we've taught in our seminars, we've got a tape on the subject, and that's learning to be an emotional matador.
Okay.
You have to get out of the way. If he's going to throw darts, you don't want to be holding the dartboard, right?
No.
Okay.
We've been married 24 years. And, you know, so it's just, I'm like...
Now, what's that related to? I mean, what's
at
that?
At the end of my rope.
Okay. We got a 24-foot rope, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm going, oh, Lord, am I going to, you know, I don't want to, you know,
well,
live another 24 years.
Yeah. Before you ever separate, Christian or non-Christian, before you ever separate, you need to have a good counseling session with a counselor therapist. So that you can assess whether it's time. Some people do it prematurely.
Yeah.
They just don't want to have to do the next thing
or
try some other things. They they're just tired, 24 years of the same thing, where at the end of a rope, we don't have the motivation, so they separate. Other people, so they separate too soon. Other people stay too long. You know, the relationship is just absolutely wearing them down. Their health is compromised. You know, it's they're trying so hard to save the marriage that they really need to stop. And they need a separation. They've stayed too long.
Yeah, that's the way I feel.
But before you ever separate, make sure you get good counsel. The Bible says where there's a multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. Plans aren't frustrated and there's hope. And different people see separations differently. Some of them see separations as a rehearsal for a divorce. Other people see it as a chance to step back and take a look at the relationship and see if it has any value. See if we have to terminate the relationship in order to save the marriage. Because that relationship, that style of relating to one another, is just not working. And sometimes the separation allows us to bring the bottom up that confronts everybody, because it's not going to be business as usual anymore. And we're going to take a step back and try to regain our energy, our strength, you know, and get good counsel. You want to have a separation agreement before you ever separate. You need to have that drafted by your counselor, therapist, pastor. And you want to make sure that what has to change in order for reconciliation to be effective? You don't want to just reconcile because you're missing each other.
Yeah. Lately, what I've been doing is, well, I work a lot. I work in the mornings and the evenings. And I'm just avoiding going home.
Yep.
And so I just go and visit my relatives or my daughter.
It's a very, very common scenario. Very common scenario. Stay on the line. We'll give you some good referrals in your area. Get in there. Let them assess and see if a separation is in order. In fact, all the things you've tried. Get a separation agreement if you have to separate. And get a good referral for your husband as well as yourself so that you can do the work of reconciliation when and if it's appropriate. Okay?
So don't leave. My trunk is full of my stuff.
I understand. If you have to go stay someplace for the night, that's one thing. Make sure it's a safe place and somebody knows where you are. But in terms of a formal separation, you need to get counseling before you do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
Stay with me.
Thank you.
We'll give you a good referral. Very, very important, friends. I'm not a big one on separation, but I do believe it's important when it's important, and I think to do less is irresponsible. Because through separation, you sometimes can save a marriage. You may not be able to save the relationship, but maybe the relationship shouldn't be saved anyway. And listen to me, I'm making a distinction between a marriage and a relationship. In the course of a marriage, you may have any number of relationships. Please remember that. And some relationships serve the marriage, and others don't. Some relationships provide for a nurturing atmosphere for children to grow up and for you to grow up as well. Some relationships stifle everyone in its path. Okay. Let me remind you two things. One is that tonight we're going to be talking about needs and wants, some essential distinctions. We're going to talk about belonging, worth and value, competency, perfectionism. We're going to talk about a lot of kinds of things, and I'll have plenty of handouts for you that I think you'll find it educationally very helpful. It's $15 at the Holiday Inn at Lakewood Boulevard and 405 Freeway. It's an inexpensive way of getting a lot of good help in a very short amount of time. 7 to 9 o'clock tonight. It's tonight. The other thing is I'd like to remind you of the broadcast. The broadcast is made available by people like you. People who find this a place where they can call for a second opinion, where they can call for help in the very time when they need it. Do support the Issues of Life, because it continues to support you in very practical ways. But we need your support. I can't tell you that strong enough. We do need your support, particularly at this time of year where everybody's making other decisions about Halloween candy and the Thanksgiving dinners and Christmas coming up. And for us to be there for you, you have to be there for us. So please. And please think of this as an opportunity. Don't think of it as another person asking for your support. Think of it as an opportunity to impact your community. You know, I would love to be on every street corner with a crowd around as we talk about the value of relationships, the value of marriage, and not making impulsive decisions, and learning how to get out of the way, and all the things that we do talk about. The value of the family and the power of the family. It's a very powerful place, both positive and negative. But I want you to think about this as worthy of your investment. Write to me at the Post Office Box 611, Long Beach, California, 90801. My announcer will give you the address again, and we'll hope to see as many of you as we can tonight at 7 o'clock at the Holiday Inn in Long Beach Airport.
The Issues of Life is a presentation of the Issues of Life Foundation, Box 611, Long Beach, California, 90801.